Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online. If there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. Same number if you live in Canada, 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the definition of love, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. We've made it through the first three statements about love. We're on the fourth. Love does not boast. And I love how Paul starts with some positive things, and then he kind of lays out the black velvet, and he puts the diamond of love on top of that so you can see it more clearly. And these elements like love does not envy, love does not boast, that's the black background of which he wants us to see love. And love doesn't boast. Love isn't all about ourselves. Love is about others. And I think it's something that we really need to pay attention to because we see a lot of boasting in this world today, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, you know, Bob, one verse that comes to mind as we talk about this boasting is the fact that Paul did some boasting, but it wasn't in himself. In Galatians 6:14, he says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so there is a bragging, a boasting, a thankfulness, a gratefulness, but it's not about ourselves. We don't have any adequacy or sufficiency in ourselves. Our achievements are pretty pathetic compared to those of our Lord. So the idea that we would even think we have something to boast about is laughable. You know, when folks say to me, you know, I'm really struggling. I've really got a big problem with pride. I like to say, well why?
Pride, yeah, that's right.
You know, pride in what? Yeah. And there's always going to be somebody who's done more, achieved more, accomplished more. And if we're going to function in that system, then it's really a dead end street. We have to boast in Jesus and in Him alone. And then, guys, you know, when we've got our eyes fixed on Him, what we find is He actually inspires us to praise other people, to encourage other people, to uplift them. And that's not a natural attitude. That's supernatural. And it only comes when we realize that our sufficiency is in Christ, that we're righteous, that we're okay, and we don't need to be trying to brag on ourselves anyway.
That's exactly right. A great point, Andrew. I think, you know, the times that I've been around people that are braggarts, basically, they're just always laying out, you know, their accomplishments or the things they've gotten to do or the things that they have. And they do so with this air of superiority. You know, they just, you know, think of themselves more highly than anybody else. And in their presence, they make you feel little. You know, they really chop you down to size. And God's not like that. He never chops us down to size. As a matter of fact, He lifts us up. And He's constantly in the business of edifying and building us up as individuals so that we can flourish as human beings, so that we can live out who we really are in Christ Jesus. And I think, as you were saying there, Andrew, when that love really takes root in our lives, we want to extend that to others. We want to really take joy in their accomplishments and do everything that we can to encourage and build them up. That's what the love of God is all about. That's why the love of God never boasts. So let's talk about that on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Plenty of phone lines open right now.
As a matter of fact, 844-322-2742. We do have calls coming in already, but still plenty of room for you. Plenty of time on the clock. 844-322-2742.
Well, we're going to go to Virginia and talk to Renee listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Renee.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
I just want to say I'm free. I'm living under grace, and I listen to Basic Gospel and Andrew Farley every day on my hour and a half commute. I do the iTunes podcast, so I love you guys.
Awesome.
Wow. Awesome.
So glad you're doing that, Renee, and thanks for being a part of what we're doing, and thank you for letting us be a part of your life. That's awesome.
Awesome. So I spent an hour or two last night looking up Matthew 12:44, and I'm stumped. Is that scripture literally talking about a spirit being cast out? Is it referring to the nation of Israel? I'm a little confused.
Okay, well, as we look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 44 is what you're referring to, and let's just take a minute to read that. Beginning in verse 43, it says, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. So I think the key there is that last sentence. That's how it'll be with this wicked generation. So think about the generation in which this was being spoken. Now we're talking before the cross, and we've got unregenerate people, meaning they're not children of God. Pentecost hasn't happened. They're not indwelt and sealed by the Holy Spirit. So this would be the idea of demon possession happening within an unbelieving person. And so when that, you know, you can see lots of people trying to make spectacles of exorcism these days. And
yes.
I think Jesus's point is, look, if there's an unbelieving person and you cast a demon out, what have you done except made a vacant place for, you know, seven or eight more to come back? And the whole point is we don't need exorcisms. Our primary need is to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit and to be born of Him and to be a child of God. So I think, Renee, as we look at this issue, number one, an unbeliever can be, you know, demonized and possessed by a demon, as we saw in the Gospels, but a believer is a person of God's possession, and God won't share us with a demon. And so I think, you know, ultimately what I get out of this passage is the spectacle of casting out and then casting out again, and people get into this mode of, oh, I casted it out and 5 minutes later it came back, and now what do I do? I got to repray and repray and repray, and they're in a cycle. And we, you know, if we're in Christ, we need to know, wait a minute, I'm owned by God's Spirit. And if we're not in Christ, then, you know, 1,000 exorcisms is not the answer. The answer is salvation in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I love.
I have a quick follow-up because I know you guys are busy. So what do you clarify what it means to be a Christian and oppressed by the devil, and what Paul meant when he said, I think it was Paul that said, don't give place to the devil so he wouldn't get a foothold? And I'm good. You can hang up on me if you want. I'll listen.
Okay. Well, I don't know that we'll hang up on you, but we like you and appreciate your call. But, you know, I think the bottom line is, Bob, as we talk about demons, we need to realize that, if a Christian feels accused, condemned, attacked, oppressed, those are coming from the outside in. Paul calls them fiery darts. Those are fiery darts of the enemy. But what would be different is if we were possessed. That would be internal, not external. And what we're saying is, you know, the only one on the inside is Christ Jesus. And as we get the thoughts of condemnation, the thoughts of temptation, the thoughts of accusation, if they're coming from the enemy, that is an external fight. It's not coming from within our human spirit.
So I guess the bottom line, Renee, is that a Christian cannot be demon possessed. That is an impossibility. With Christ in us, no demon will ever come inside of us. So he's only left to shoot those fiery darts at us.
But you can get caught up in a continuous sin, correct?
Yeah.
Like if you had an addiction or sexual sin and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's outward, considered outwardly too?
Well, no. I mean, we're not saying that. We're not talking about the sin itself. We're talking about the source. So I'm saying, you know, we're saying if the source is demonic and you're a child of God, then that's an external source that's trying to influence you. Of course, Christians can struggle. We can struggle with in many ways. We can stumble in many ways, as James says. But the point is that when it comes to demons, Christians shouldn't envision that demons live inside of them. There's no such thing for a believer. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and sealed forever by Him. We're safe and secure.
Well, thank you. This is awesome. There's a lot of confusion out there. A lot of confusion.
Yeah.
So thank you. So much.
You're welcome, Renee. Certainly, we appreciate your call. And, you know, as we talk about, those sort of things, demon possession and this gospel message, the fact that Christ comes to live inside of us. And as He lives inside of us, He engages our mind into understanding what the love of God is all about, the fact that God is patient with us, He's kind with us, He doesn't keep records of our wrongs. That's the love of God, and we grow in our understanding of that, and that keeps expanding in our hearts and minds. And this month we have a wonderful resource called Love Is. We want to put that in your hands. If you want to know the rock to stand upon, this is the rock to stand upon. The fact that God loves you in these specific ways and is continually loving you in these specific ways. So this is stuff that will really transform you from the inside out, and that's how we grow as believers, from the inside out. Yeah. So we want to put this resource into your hands. It's available for a gift this month, the Basic Gospel. We ask you to be generous, because in your generosity, you're going to help others connect to the love of Christ Jesus. So when you call or when you go online just to make your contribution to Basic Gospel this month, we ask you to request your copy of Love Is. It is a CD series. It is a wonderful teaching resource that will really ground you in the love of God and give you that conviction of heart that you can go through life knowing that absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. So we want to put that in your hands.
Absolutely. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to Billy at the front desk at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Damien in Dallas, Texas, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Damien.
Hi, brothers. How are you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
Good. I was just wanted to get your opinion on, you know, we're told as Christians to store up our treasures in heaven. And but it seems like contradictory that we're doing our works. And so I just wanted to get your feel on that. I tend to believe that as we store up our treasures in heaven, I believe those are the souls that we are a part of, more than wanting something tangible in heaven. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I mean, my initial thought on that, guys, is that, first of all, treasures aren't earned. Treasures are discovered. You earn wages, but you don't earn treasures. You discover them. And so as we even look at this word treasure in Matthew 6, Jesus is saying, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I think the opposite of that would be to pursue earthly things. You know, do you have your mind set on earthly things? Are you trying to discover earthly treasures? Is that the pursuit of your life? Or do you have your eyes fixed on Jesus? And are you pursuing heavenly treasures? And I think that just is a perspective verse. It's just saying, you know, what is your mindset here? Do you have an earthy mindset? Or do you have a heavenly mindset? And so that's different than, you know, trying to collect trophies in heaven or trying to collect a lot of rewards in heaven that you can brag about or something. It seems to me it's all about perspective here, Bob.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And Paul talks about that in Colossians 3, you know, that we are to set our minds on things above, not on things below. And I think that's what it's talking about. I mean, what is your real source of life? What is your treasure? What identifies you? And, you know, the world out there offers up a lot of things that, you know, they try to connect you to and say, this is where real happiness is going to be found. And if you invest in that, you're going to be led down a path to emptiness, to nothingness, because there's nothing there. There's really nothing of substance, of value, that can bring true contentment to the human heart. And so we have to find that in Christ. And so it's just saying simply set your mind on things above. Now, you know, there's a lot of people that say, hey, you need to go out and work for rewards, those rewards that you're going to get when you get into heaven and all of those sort of things. And, you know, we have to come to the point and realize that if anything good is going to flow out of us, God is going to be the source of that. That's why Christ has come to live inside of us. Yeah. So when we get to be with him, we're just going to bow down in front of him and worship and sing his praises. I think, Richard, as you work through the book of Revelation so much, and, you know, one of the things that really grabs your attention is the fact how often we see all of heaven bowing down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yeah, they can't help themselves.
That's right. Just saying, holy, holy, holy. And I think that's what it's going to be as we are in his presence forever. So I don't think we really have to worry about that. I think we just go about our lives entrusting ourselves to Jesus, looking to him to live his life in and through us and to enable us to be who we fully are in Christ, all of him and all of us. And, boy, that's good living.
I'll say, absolutely.
Does that make sense, Damien?
Yes, yes, it does, absolutely. I just find, it's just sometimes in messages you hear a little bit of manipulation to obey, you know, it's these treasures. But I think it's maybe just not said the right way. I'm sure the heart behind it means as heavenly. Like, I love what you say there about that treasures discovered. And, you know, there's nothing that I would want more than to just bow down at the feet of God when I see him one day. And thank you for your explanation, brothers. God bless you all.
Thank you, Damien.
Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. We have some open lines and time on the clock, friends. 844-322-2742. Good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New Jersey and talk to Wayne listening to us on WMCA. Hey. Hi, Wayne.
Hi. How you doing, brothers?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I'm studying the book of Revelation. But my question is, it says in Revelation chapter 6, now I saw a lamb open or on one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. Is that referring to Jesus Christ, or could be the Antichrist, like an impersonator of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, this white horse is not the Jesus white horse that's at the end of Revelation. The whole seven seals motif is about judgment. As God begins to roll out the judgments against the earth, the world system against evil, and these first four seals, which is the white horse and then the red horse and a black horse and a pale horse, are indications of the kinds of things that are going to be brought to the earth as God rolls out his judgment. There's some awful stuff here about hunger and death and taking peace away from the earth. Jesus is not part of that. When Jesus arrives on his horse, he simply speaks, and evil is finished, done, over. Mm-hmm. So his is the culmination of the judgment. This is just the beginning of it.
Oh, I got you. Okay, thank you, brothers. Thank you so much for the meaning.
You're welcome, Wayne. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, we do. And, guys, we are just 7 days away from the end of our fiscal year. And, Richard, talk to us and the listeners about the matching gift that we have and the importance, the blessing of giving through Basic Gospel.
Well, a very, very good friend of the ministry pledged a $25,000 matching gift. So every gift up to that $25,000 is doubled. So if you give $10, it's like $20. If you give $100, it's like $200. So your impact in the lives of others can be doubled, and it's less stress for you.
Yeah.
You know, the blessing here is that as you've heard in these phone calls, people are asking really good questions these days about life in Christ and what it means to be a child of His, and how we can get away from the confusion and the noise of this world. And when you give to us, especially here at the end of our fiscal year, that allows us to be set up on a much stronger footing at the beginning of the next fiscal year, you are enabling people to hear the freeing message of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the fact that we have this matching gift to go along with it is literally icing on the cake. And so there's no better way to do it. Go to the website. Every page has a donate button. You can call us at 844-412-2742. The webpage is basicgospel.net. Join us.
Yeah.
Yes,
because
indeed.
You're having an eternal impact.
Yeah, and let me give you one update. You know, our goal for this month is $199,000. We're halfway there.
Yeah.
So we've got 7 days. To get the other half, and so let's
do it.
Be generous and do what we can so that we'll set the table in a very positive way for the next 12 months as far as the outreach of Basic Gospel. So if you can help, do so today. Make a difference in the life of this ministry, which is impacting people all over the world.
Yes,
so
indeed.
We appreciate that. Yeah. Well, let's go to Payette, Idaho, and talk with Lavana. Hi, Lavana. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you. I'm calling a follow-up on your first caller. And in 1 John chapter 3, my heading is the children of God. And then if you zero in on chapter 3, verse 9, it says, whoever is a child of God does not continue to sin, for God's very nature is in him. In other words, you have the ability to resist the devil and his nature. And I wonder if you would just discuss, starting with verse 7 down through 10, and it says the clear difference between God's children and the devil's children.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lavana, good question. Andrew, go ahead.
Well, yeah, we see in 1 John a real contrast, first between light and darkness, and next between children of God and children of the devil. And so we see this contrast, and that's exactly what you've honed in on in 1 John chapter 3. So as we look at this, you know, it's contrasting two different spiritual kinds of people, those who are in Adam and those who are in Christ. Now, what it's saying is that the trend has totally reversed. It doesn't mean that a Christian never stumbles. It doesn't mean that a Christian never sins. In fact, if you look at the original language here, it's saying a Christian can't keep on keeping on. They can't keep practicing it as a way of life because now Christ is our way of life. It's like, you know, LeBron James, this year's champion in basketball, he practices basketball to get better at basketball, to be a champion player of basketball. But if we're in Christ, we don't practice sin in order to get better at sin, in order to be champion sinners. We are saints. Our nature has changed. God's seed will always remain in us, and He's the one that counsels us away from sin. So it's not a life without struggle. It's not a life without stumbling. But it is a nature change at the core of our being.
And one that we can have great expectations
yes.
about what lies ahead
Truly.
Because of Christ who lives in us. That is the good news.
Absolutely. Well, Levon, I hope that's a help to you. Hope you keep listening and call again. Friends, a couple of good things happen when you sign up for Basic Gospel emails. The first thing is that you'll receive a daily message in your inbox containing a link to each day's program, in addition to news about events and other timely information as well. It's just one good way to stay connected daily to Basic Gospel. The second thing is that you will receive our ebook, Forgiveness, The Door to Life, a rich learning experience about the forgiveness and the abundant life that's yours through Jesus Christ our Lord. All you have to do is click subscribe in the upper left corner of the webpage at basicgospel.net. Just click subscribe at basicgospel.net, and we'll get that on the way to you. And we'll appreciate your joining us in this particular endeavor. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, with your invitation to join us tomorrow for our study edition of Basic Gospel.